Father, I thank you for those who came out tonight to sit at your table and glean from your word, which you would have them to glean. I'm asking you, Father God, to allow your anointing to be upon this word tonight and let it go into their spirits, Father God, and stay there and take root, and then let it grow a tree with good fruit on it, Father. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the song service was put together because of this message. All right? We sang the songs that we sang because of this message. So as you listen to the message, you understand why we sang the songs that we sang. So, returning the Ark of God. The presence of God on David's throne, 1 Chronicles 13:14. The Ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Then 1 Chronicles 15:25 said, so David, the elders of Israel, and the captains over thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy. They went to get the presence of the Lord with joy. Now, David brought the Ark of God from Obed-Edom's house unto Jerusalem when he ascended to the throne. It stayed in this young man's home until David got on the throne, all right? Obed-Edom's house had been blessed by the presence of the Ark. David desired this blessing and determined to bring the Ark to Zion. He placed the Ark under a tent, which was David's tabernacle. The Ark represents the presence of God. See, the presence of God was in Obed-Edom's house, and he was blessed the whole time it was there. So if you want to be blessed, get the presence of God in your house. We need the presence of God as we sit on David's throne. We are the generation that returns the Ark of God, or the presence of God, back into the church. I want you to really listen to this, because this is exactly what God's been doing here. Acts 15:14 says, Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now that's sort of interesting, because it says, Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. He didn't take them all. Just took out of them. All right? And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up. Why? So that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. As I read that scripture, those verses, that's telling me that there's worldly people out there that are already earmarked for God. And that's the harvest that God's going to bring in. Those that already are marked for God's kingdom. God is rebuilding the tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David is a type of the New Testament church. The result will be all the Gentiles seeking God. Isn't that what God said? They're going to come in by the droves, right? The ark was hidden behind a curtain in Moses' tabernacle, and only the high priest had access to it once a year. Not so in David's tabernacle. All the priests and Levites had access to the presence of God in David's tabernacle. David was an Old Testament man that tapped into New Testament worship. And see, this is about worship. That's why I want you to really listen. Psalm 132:7. Let us go into his tabernacle, and let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you in the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. Let your priests be what? Clothed with righteousness, and let your saints do what? Shout for joy. That's why we sang those two shout songs, all right? For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn from it. I will sit upon your throne, the fruit of your body. That's what God swore to David. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. See, there's your generational thing. For the Lord has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his dwelling place. Now, you men in here that are fussing about your kids, you weren't in the right place doing the right thing, or your children wouldn't be doing what they're doing. So what passed down to your children is what you were doing. Take a real hard swallow, because that's what's going on, all right? The ark represents the strength of God. The priests were the guardians of the ark. Who was the guardian of the ark? The ark's the anointing. The priest, right? We must guard and carry the ark of God while sitting on the throne of David. There was great rejoicing when David brought the ark to Jerusalem. David danced before the Lord with all his might. There is joy and rejoicing in the house of David. You know, we're the house of David, all right? There is joy and rejoicing in the house of David. We are anointed with the oil of gladness as we sit upon the throne of David. We must rule on David's throne with gladness. You know, some people don't like our happy, happy songs, so they left. And, you know, somebody came in there and made the statement, well, you'd be great for the millennials. And then I got words that people said to me, well, you're just gearing up for the millennials, and we don't like this, and they left. That wasn't even true. I didn't even know what the millennials were until just recently, and they're the drug addicts and the prostitutes and everything else, you know. And so they were saying it was the young people, but it is not the young people. Anyhow, we must rule on David's throne with gladness. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. Sadness and depression has no place on David's throne. There is joy, gladness, celebration, praise, and worship in David's tabernacle. There is joy, gladness, celebration, dropping the balloons, praise, and worship in David's tabernacle. This is Davidic praise and worship. We have seen a restoration of Davidic worship in the church. There is a spirit of liberty being released upon us to praise. We are praising God with all our might, aren't we? I've been trying to get y'all to do that. We are free to praise in David's house. And as I was coming down there, I told Larry, I understand now why. Well, I'll wait till I get to that part. I'm getting ahead of myself. 1 Chronicles 15:27. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who wore the ark. The singers and Chenaiah, the music master, with the singers, David also wore a linen ephod. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn, with trumpets, with cymbals, making music with stringed instruments and harps and whistles. All right? Had to throw that in and we'd blow the whistle, right? And it happened as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David that Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David whirling and playing music, and she despised him in her heart. That's what happens in here. People come here and say, these people are nuts. You don't do this in the house of God. And they get disgruntled and leave and don't come back. They see you up here acting like a fool, jumping on balloons and throwing balloons and swirling around the ring. And, you know, and they just can't understand why you would do that in the house of God. After all, you know, this is the house of God. Well, you know, as I studied this, I found out that that's what the house of God does. Because God, didn't God tell us what, how long ago? He said, daughter, he said, I want you to start, just do the partying, you know, just rejoice, just blow the whistle, you know, have the balloons. I just want you to party because I want the house to be full of joy. And so when God was trying to get us to be in a Davidic house of worship, this is why he was doing that to us. Now, the ark was brought up with shouting. The ark was brought up with shouting. Davidic churches have a shout. Yeah, when Chris Thomas said, give a shout, you know, they all shouted. Now, listen, you didn't shout too much, all right? Psalm 47:1-9 says, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, O clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. And if you notice on there, they're trying to teach a new way to clap your hands. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves. This is Selah. That means think about that. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. And that one song that Chris Tomlin sang, and in case you didn't hear him, he was saying, rejoice in the heavens or something like that. But anyhow, he's talking about heaven. But I don't think people, you know, the one where they hold the little, I don't know why they hold the mask up, but I heard somebody say it. I don't know. But he was really talking about rejoicing into the heavens. And I don't think y'all caught that. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with understanding. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. And this is what God's trying to do for us here. Get us to exalt God. Get into his presence. From people that go to heaven and come back, they said there's so much singing and rejoicing there. So why should, and God's saying bring heaven to earth. So if that's the case, then we bring rejoicing from heaven to earth, right? Great power is released through shouting. Walls come down through shouting. Don't underestimate the power of the shout. Shouting belongs to kings. The king's arrival would be preceded by a shout. Psalm 41 says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Psalm 132:9 says, and let thy saints shout for joy. And Psalm 132:16 says, her saints shout aloud for joy. See that? There is prophetic worship in David's tabernacle. New songs are birthed by the Holy Spirit. There is prophetic worship in David's tabernacle. New songs are birthed by the Holy Spirit. 1 Chronicles 25:1 says, moreover, David and the captains of the army separated for the service some of the sons of Asaph, who should prophesy with harps. See this? Your instrument should be prophesying. Who should prophesy with harps, stringed instruments, and cymbals. And the number of the skilled men performing their service was 2 of the sons of all these people and 3 of Jephthah and all their sons. All right. So I thought I did that pretty neat. But anyhow, all these people what were they doing now? They were prophesying with their instruments, right? And you know, sometimes, you know, if you're really in the spirit, you can play a tambourine and it prophesies. If you really listen to somebody who really is in the spirit and they have a tambourine, it's really beautiful. Now, some people have a tambourine just boom, 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 you know, and it's nothing. But if you're in the spirit, there's God's in that. There was prophetic music and singing in David's tabernacle. David was a psalmist. He prophesied in song. Now, you girls are supposed to be psalmists. Listen to this. He prophesied in song. Davidic worship is prophetic. Our music and songs need a prophetic dimension. We can prophesy and decree the will of God in song. We need anointed minstrels and psalmists. They help us to rule and reign on David's throne. Now, this is where I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings, but that's all right. You get over it. I understand now why God had me, you know, take the singers down off the platform and had me do what I'm doing, because they were not anointed. There was always fussing about something. And that was not bringing the presence of God into the sanctuary. And then whenever he told me to do that and I started going through songs, the first person I ran into was Chris Tomlin. And I understand now why, is because all the songs he puts out there is all biblical. Phil Wickham, all his songs, he said they come out of the Bible. And you know, both these, well, about 4 or 5 people we listen to, they're all anointed singers. It comes from the throne of grace. There's other songs that are good, but when I try to play them, the Spirit says no, because the person that's singing that song is not anointed. You have to understand this. See, you're going to have to understand, if you're going to work for God, you have to be anointed. If you're going to work for God, you're going to have to work in righteousness and holiness, because nothing else works. I would really love for God to say, I said, God, can't you have somebody else do this? Because this really ties me up. You know, I have to study and I have to do the music. Music doesn't come in 15 minutes. I might spend 3 hours trying to get a song service together. All right. So it is nothing that's ever thrown together. All right, Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, Psalm 33:3 says, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. Sometimes the music's too loud, so please don't take this to heart. Gotta lower that music. That's too much. Psalm 96:1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. 1 Kings 4:32, and he, Solomon, spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. This is New Testament worship. We are to sing new songs. These are songs birthed by the Holy Spirit. These are spiritual songs. They do not originate from the flesh or soul, but from the Spirit. David wrote many songs, so did his son Solomon. There's that generation thing went down from the father to the son. What are you passing down to your children? A kingdom dominion generation, Psalm 60:6. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is a helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Philistia shout in triumph because of me. So David was saying all this stuff was his, all right, in the scripture. It says David has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. Then he goes on to say everything he's going to do. What that's telling us is that David was a man of dominion. He had dominion over all these. All right. He ruled and reigned over his enemies. All these people were his enemies. Christ rules over his enemies. All dominions shall serve and obey him. Daniel 7:27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So Christ is a greater David. We rule and reign with Christ on the throne of David. Daniel 7:13 says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. See that? That all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Now, just keep that in your thoughts. David's throne extends beyond Israel to the entire earth through Jesus Christ. All people, nations, and languages come under his dominion. We have an anointing and authority to touch and impact nations. This is a part of the dominion of the church. We are called to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Davidic end-time churches shall impact nations. God has told me that this church will impact nations. We are a Davidic church. And this is why we do things that other people don't do. We do them first. Other people don't do them yet, but if you watch, they start coming in line. It's because God has chosen this church for a special purpose. And so he has to get us, and we are the forerunners, because God told me you are a forerunner church, and you always do things before others do them. Now, if I'm not walking in the anointing, if I'm not listening to the voice of God, I could miss God, and we would hear something happening over here that we've never entered into yet. All right? And I don't want to be that, since God told us he wants us, that we are a forerunner church. So forerunners always go forth and carve out a path for others to follow. All right. There is still much rebellion in the earth. All things are subject unto us. We are marching toward the complete fulfillment. Jesus will return from heaven and reign as King of Kings. We are reigning and will reign with him on the throne of David. We're reigning right now, and then we'll reign with him. We are training for reigning. All right? Learn to rule and reign now. If you don't learn it now, you're not going to be able to rule and reign with him. Begin to have a dominion mentality. We talked some about this last night. Zechariah 9:10. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. So then the reign of Christ is a reign of peace. And how long has God been trying to get us to enter into his peace? We are called to establish peace in the hearts of men. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is being released to the ends of the earth, this righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See yourself ruling and reigning with Christ. You should be able to picture yourself doing that. On the throne of David, dispersing peace to the nations. In other words, we should be, instead of coming in here grumbling and complaining, we should be coming in here with peace, and we should be spreading peace. You know, and you shouldn't have any, discord. You shouldn't have any odd of any type, and you shouldn't be so easily upset. Because if you have all that, then you don't have peace with inside of you. You're not ruling and reigning in dominion. The enemy has dominion over you. All right, see yourself breaking the powers of darkness. See yourself cutting off the chariot and battle bow of the enemy. The church does not see this. What the church sees is the enemy walking all over them. I'm not saying everybody. Please, the shoe doesn't fit, don't put it on. But the majority of the church is always, oh, woe is me. Because all they can see is what the enemy is doing. They don't see themselves breaking the powers of darkness. You don't see yourself cutting off the chariot and battle bow of the enemy. You don't see yourself winning any battles. You just know that the enemy is after you. Or we concentrate too much on what the enemy's doing and not enough on what God is doing and the power and authority that we have. 2 Samuel 7:1 says, now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around. And that's all I wanted to read of that scripture. Now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around. Although there was much warfare on David's throne, the Lord eventually gave him rest. That's what I'm getting at there. He eventually gave him rest. There is a season of rest that comes after you subdue your enemies. All right? Rest is a result of dominion. See yourself entering into the rest that results from dominion. See, you have to, you know, if you have to really, God told me one time, daughter, if you can see it, it's yours. And so if you don't see yourself, if you all you ever see is yourself defeated, you're always going to be defeated. If all you ever see is people, the devil makes you believe that everybody's talking about you, you're always going to think everybody's talking about you. You're never going to have any peace. You're never going to have any dominion because the enemy already has dominion over you. You know, and if you're messed up in some area of your life and all you can see is that, then that's all you're ever going to be. You have to understand that you have dominion over that thing in you. And I don't care what it looks like. That's not what it is. Because we're supposed to bring what's in heaven down to earth. And so in heaven, we're not bound up. And see, we have to keep looking at that. I am not in heaven. I'm not bound up. And so God's saying, bring heaven to earth. And so I'm bringing heaven to earth and I'm not bound up any longer. But see, but you have to keep that up. You can't say it one time and then quit. You say it one time and here comes the enemy. Well, that didn't work. No, it didn't, because you didn't keep it up. You didn't fight. You didn't pursue your enemy until you defeated him. I go through this stuff too. You know, and I don't have the option of laying down and playing dead. I have too much work to do for the Father, and too many people are relying on what I do. I tell each one of you, people are relying on you. God said there's many souls that are going to go to hell because you did not do what he's called you to do. Each and every one of us. He told us, was it a million souls? He told us one time, everybody in here, there's a million souls appointed to you, each one of us. And you're going to be accountable for those million souls. So what are you doing about it? It's like that older lady told me, she said, don't you dare quit. You can't quit because there's too many people counting on you. And what she said, there's too many souls out there that God's already given to me to minister to. And if I just quit, what's going to happen to him? Are you understanding this? Come on, guys. We're a hospital. And we aren't killing the souls. We're supposed to be ministering to the souls. We're supposed to, first of all, get ourselves together. And once we get together, then God will send all these lost souls to you, and you'll be able to minister to them. Amen. There, that's where I'm at, right there, right? 1 Chronicles 19:19. And when the servants of Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and became his servants. Begin to see your enemies making peace with you. This is a result of dominion. Those that hated you will come and sit down before you. All enemies are subject to David's throne. All enemies are subject to David's throne. You don't have any enemies because they're subject to you because you have dominion. In the beginning, didn't God said you have dominion? Didn't he give us dominion? He didn't change that I see anywhere. And everything I've read so far talks about dominion. 1 Chronicles 22 says, 20 verse 2, then David took their king's crown from his head and found it to weigh a talent of gold. And there were precious stones in it, and it was set on David's head. Also, he brought out the spoil of the city in great abundance. David took the guy's crown. See? A crown represents authority and dominion. And you know, God says in his word, don't let any man steal your crown. And one day I was walking right down and I was preaching, and God said, daughter, don't let any man steal your crown, because he knew I was going to come under attack. So he warned me beforehand. So a crown represents authority and dominion. I already have dominion over any enemy that comes after me. You do too. You have to walk in that dominion. So a crown represents authority and dominion. David took the crown from his enemy and set it on his head. He thought, we'll just go up to the enemy and say, I'll just take your crown, thank you. Add it to my collection. Right? All right, this is dominion. See yourself seizing the enemy's authority. We are dethroning principalities and powers through Jesus Christ. All the kingdoms around David became subject to him. Isn't that wonderful? All the kingdom of darkness is supposed to become subject to you and I. We're supposed to have dominion over them, not them have dominion over us. Solomon's dominion in 1 Kings 4:24. Solomon inherited the throne of his father David and experienced dominion. Peace is a sign of dominion. Peace is a result of subduing the enemy. We have peace, as we said, on the throne of David. So if you don't have peace, you don't have dominion. Come on. Oh, hell can be breaking loose around about you, but you're so stupid, you don't know enough to get upset. You just have peace. That's because you have dominion. Are you understanding this? So we said Solomon inherited the throne of his father David and experienced dominion. Peace is a sign of dominion. Peace is a result of subduing the enemy. We have peace as we sit on the throne of David. And Psalm 55:18 tells us, He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. He has redeemed my soul in peace. And Psalm 147:14 said, he makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. God has been trying to get us to walk in peace for quite some time, but we're too dumb to do that. We would rather walk around, you know, and be all upset and have something to moan and groan and complain about, and oh, woe is me, and that's not having dominion. When you have dominion, you have authority. You have boldness. And you're not going to back down the enemy. The enemy is going to back down from you. Because you're going to tell him where he's going to go, because you're a child of God, blood bought. And he has no dominion over you. You're going to have to get that in your spirit. That's why some of you are still bound up. You give in to him all the time. You know, sometimes you just have to say, flesh, get under control. Stop acting up. It's no devil, it's your flesh. And I'm sorry, the flesh is not intertwined in your, the devil intertwined in your flesh. He's not weaved in there. Your flesh is just acting up, and you need to get that flesh under control. And that's why we just stay in bondage all the time. And if you do any type of deliverance, you'll see people do that. It's them. It's not a spirit. It's them. And some, that's why I quit counseling, because you know what? People like to stay in bondage. They really do. They like to be able to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it and rehearse it, you know, and it makes them feel good. And I thought, you're wasting my time. Got a degree in counseling and don't even want to use it, because people don't want to be set free. Remember I told you a story about my sister. You know, she went to a psychologist, for about 15 years, once a week, faithfully. Paid that fee. And finally, you know, she finally, the counselor told her, she said, Phyllis, don't ever come back here again, because you really don't want to be set free. You just enjoy sitting here telling me the same story over and over and over again. She said, I know I was taking your money all these 15 years, but I don't even want your money anymore. I'm tired of listening to that same story. You don't want to let go of it. And she didn't. But she finally did, though. But it was after the counselor kicked her out. You know, come on. All right, our borders represent our dominion. God gives peace within our borders. We solidify and completely subdue the enemy in our territory. This is our sphere of authority. I said we solidify and completely subdue the enemy in our territory. I can't go into your home and subdue the enemy. That's your territory. I can subdue the enemy in my, I can subdue the enemy in this church, because this is my territory. You understand what I'm saying? Too many people trying to subdue the enemy in somebody else's territory, and you're not going to get that accomplished. You can go pray through somebody's house all you want to, but if near you leave them, people still act dumb. Them spirits are coming right back again. You know? This is our sphere of authority. All believers in churches have a sphere of authority. Learn to rule in your sphere. Subdue the enemy in your territory. Alan, you can be down in that room, and the devil can be marching all around here and upstairs, and you say, devil, you're not coming to my territory. I built a wall of blood around this little hole down here, and this is my territory, and you're not coming into here. Are you listening? Come on. We have a dominion mandate. Warfare is for the purpose of establishing peace. We cannot have peace as long as the enemy abounds. We war in order to subdue. We are called to establish the kingdom of God in the hearts of men, which is a kingdom of peace. We are called to establish a kingdom of God in the hearts of men, which is a kingdom of peace. You and I are called to minister to other people. Now, let's get that straight. You weren't called to just sit here and have somebody minister to you all the time. We are called to get out there and minister to other people in our workplace, in the marketplace, or wherever. But people just want to sit and be filled and filled and filled and get fat and sassy. You know, and we're supposed to be out there ministering to other people. Isaiah 54:10 says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, that my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. And that's part of my little promise from God in Isaiah 54. That's my scripture, right? The whole chapter. So for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Make that your verse. God, you said, if you told that to that lady up there, you can tell that to me too. I'm going to claim that verse for myself. Amen. We have a covenant peace. This is a result of the kindness and mercy of the Lord. The covenant of peace cannot be removed. When God makes a covenant with you, like he did to me in here in Isaiah 54, it cannot be removed. The devil can do all the shaking he wants to do, but he can't remove that from me. And if God has made a covenant of peace with you, it cannot be removed from you. The devil cannot claim it. It's yours. That's your promise, and he's trespassing. All right, I said this covenant of peace cannot be removed. It is a firm covenant. Solomon enjoyed peace during his reign. He benefited from the sure mercies of David. So if he benefited from the sure mercies of David, his father, why can't we benefit from the sure mercies of David through Christ? Are you listening? We have to give a shout. When the enemy's running after you, just turn around and look at him and shout. Lord Jesus! Make him stop in his tracks. Are you listening here? I tell you what, God is on the move. And he's doing great and mighty things. And we're right there with him. We're right there in that circle. We're all running there with him. And I'm about as happy as I can get. Because I know that I know that I know that my Father does live. And I know that I know that I know that he is in control. And I know that he's given all of us dominion, because it's right there in the first chapter of the Bible. He's given us all dominion, every one of us dominion. We just haven't had the knowledge to walk in it. We've been running. You know, I bet the devil's been having a heyday now. He's mad now, you know. Oh, God, she went and told him something else now. Now I'm defeated in that area too. See, if you will apply it, the devil's lost. The devil's lost. But it's up to you to apply it. Devil, this is God's vessel, not yours. You can't come and make this vessel do anything, because I have dominion over my vessel. Do you not? And I have dominion over you, so you're not going to come into my vessel and use me to do anything else ever again that's not godly. You have to speak it. You have to let the devil know that you know that he's defeated. When I was putting this together today, God said, when are you going to go around here and shout through your house and tell the devil to get out of your house? He's come in here and seated himself, and I want you to get out here and shout and make him leave. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell everybody, all right, I'm going to be shouting through the house, so just don't get excited, because the devil's going to know that I mean business. So what are you going to do? But are you going to do it with authority? Knowing that you have dominion. Get out of my kids. I have dominion over my kids. They're my territory. They're my kids. They're God's kids first and they're mine. And you can't have my kids. See, we say, oh, look at these kids. You know, but we never tell the devil to get out. We never tell the devil that's my territory. I have dominion over them. You don't. And so the devil just keeps doing his thing. Over and over and over again. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I taught this very same message in 2003. And God said, preach it tonight. So you got it tonight. But what I'm getting at here is, so I knew it in 2003. But over the years, it just slipped away from me. And you'll be saying to God, how come you made me do the praise and worship? You know, how come you do this and how come you do that? And you know, how come you just told me 3-4 years ago that I was an apostle? How come this and how come that? And it's all this. It's all about being a Davidic church. It's all about ruling and reigning on the throne of David. But now was the time when God wanted to refresh that in me. Now is the time he wanted me to understand what was going on right now. I understood it then, but now it's going on again, and God is reestablishing. We know he's been reestablishing and rebuilding this church for quite a few years, and we're right on track. We're right on track. I'm right on track. Are you on track with me? Is what I should say. Have you learned tonight that you rule and reign in your own territory? Have you learned tonight that you have dominion over the principalities and the powers of the air, because God said so in Genesis, and the enemy can't do anything to you unless you allow him to. And he can no longer use your vessel. I start on tomorrow night's message. I could have stayed there all day writing what I was going to write, but tomorrow night's going to be good too. We have to understand that we have won. We have the victory. And every devil had to bow his knee. Now, we just have to understand that he had to bow his knee. We have to understand that he now knows that we know that we have dominion. I was telling Larry, I said, boy, I just feel so jitterish and so anxious in my spirit. And I told Teresa, and I said, honey, I'm really messed up right now. And I just got through typing this all up. And I know what it was. The devil was upset with me. He said, now that big mouth's going to go and tell them this tonight. And so he just had me in a Twitter for a little bit, you know. But I finally prayed and got it lifted. The devil doesn't want us to know the truth, because what does the truth do? So are you free tonight? Do you have dominion? You're going to go home and use it in your home? You're going to use it over your children? Over your finances? Over your bodies? If you're going to do all that, get on up here and let God just anoint you just to have dominion in all of its fullness tonight. We've been walking in partial dominion, and God wants us to have it in the fullness tonight. Amen.